Join us now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Our speaker today is Dr. Jim Hershenhahn, pastor of Grace Baptist Church in Wilmington, North Carolina. The title of his message is, Lord, Teach Us to Pray. The text is from Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 13.
Well, good morning. It is great to be here again today. I was thinking, when I came into the auditorium and saw all of you coming in, there are a tremendous number of emotions that go through the mind and heart of one who stands as I stand here this morning. I think of the incredible potential that is in this room for the cause of Christ, and I cannot express to you how deeply honored I am to be able to be here for these 2 days. Let me invite your attention this morning to the book of Luke. Would you go to the 11th chapter, please? The Gospel of Luke, chapter 11. In my opinion, the most important emphasis I could give to this great student body is the one for our consideration this morning. I believe one of the greatest needs in this land is for God to raise up people who really know how to pray. I'm not sure, but what we're living in some of the most crucial days of our history, with the events which transpired a year ago tomorrow, and since for the first time we have been threatened within our own borders, I'm not so sure but what these are the most crucial times for us as a nation as it relates to the importance of prayer. Young people, I want to speak to you for a few minutes this morning on this subject. I think perhaps the central New Testament passage on the subject of prayer is the one found here in Luke's Gospel, the 11th chapter. And I invite your attention, beginning at verse 1, please, and we will read down through verse 13. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, he, of course, is the Lord Jesus. When he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, When ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so on earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, his much asking, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? Not only in this portion of Scripture does the Lord Jesus give to His disciples the model prayer. We often refer to it as the Lord's Prayer. Not only does He give them that prayer in the first verses of this 11th chapter, but He also illustrates the dynamics of prayer with those two incredible parables which we have just read. To me, one of the remarkable things coming from the lives of those men whom the Lord Jesus called to His side during His public ministry is the request that these men made of Him. In the words of our text, they said to Him, "Lord, teach us to pray." That may seem at first to be an unusual request, and unusual especially in light of what they had seen in the public ministry of the Lord Jesus. You will notice, young people, that they did not say, "Lord, would you teach us to heal the sick?" They had seen Him perform many miracles in the healing of the sick, but they did not ask that He would teach them to heal the sick. Nor did they ask Him to teach them to raise the dead, though we know of at least two occasions when the only son of the widow of Nain, on the way to the place of burial, the Lord Jesus stopped that funeral procession, and the Lord Jesus raised that young lad to life again. Then, of course, at the grave of the one by the name of Lazarus, He called Lazarus from the grave, whose body had already begun to decay. So these men had seen the Lord Jesus heal the sick. They had seen the Lord raise the dead, but they did not ask Him to teach them to do those things. You will recall that they did not ask that He teach them to turn water into wine, though at the marriage in Cana of Galilee, the Lord Jesus had done that. But they did not ask Him to teach them how to do that. Nor did they ask Him how to multiply the loaves and the fish, as the Lord Jesus did with the lad's lunch on that wonderful occasion. But they did want to know, "Lord, will you teach us to pray?" Think about it this morning. They did not say, "Lord, would you teach us to preach?" But they did say, "Lord, teach us to pray." I believe with all of my heart this morning, ladies and gentlemen, that the greatest indictment against the Christian community, perhaps of our generation, is that we have not because we ask not. I ask you this morning this question: are you a praying Christian? Do you really know what it is to get a hold of God's throne and get answers for the needs of your life? Do you pray? Or do you simply say prayers? There is a great difference between genuine fervent prayer and simply praying a prayer. And I want to challenge you this morning to set out in your life from these places of service and training here at Bob Jones University. I want to challenge you to decide this morning that you're going to be a person of prayer. Why did they want to know how to pray? Well, there are several reasons, and we'll come to those reasons in just a moment. But I suppose if there is one thing that you can do for your home church and for your pastor and for your parents and for this university that will have the greater lasting value of anything we could mention this morning, it would be that you learn how to pray and to have an audience with God and get your prayers answered. I challenge you this morning, young people, to create, to develop the habit, the practice of genuine, fervent prayer in your life day by day in the course of your life. The collective request of this great student body this morning ought to be, Lord, teach us to pray. And certainly the request of every individual Christian ought to be the same. Lord, teach me to pray. May I ask this question? Have you prayed this morning? Have you met the Lord yet? Have you talked to Him about your needs and the needs of others? Have you spent time with the Lord in prayer yet today? I mentioned to you yesterday that one of the dangers of being involved in education is that you become so busy that you allow to freeze out of your life those times alone with the Lord that are absolutely essential if you're to be all that God Almighty would have you to be. God has given to us two ways of communing with Him. He has given to us His Word. And if you and I wish to know this morning the mind of the Lord, then we're going to have to be students of the Bible. Three things I would strongly encourage you to do with the Word of God this morning. I would encourage you to learn it. Spend time in this wonderful book, the Bible. I would encourage you this morning to love this book. And as you spend time in learning the Bible, there will come a love for the Word of God. And all of us need a great love for the Bible. And then, of course, let's live the Bible. Let others see Jesus in you. Keep telling the story. Be faithful, be true. Let others see Jesus in you. And one of the means by which the Lord Jesus is revealed in your life is through that which you find in His Word. I'm reminded this morning of the psalmist who declared in Psalm 119, 9 and 11, he begins in verse 9 with a question, "Wherewithal or by what means shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word." Verse 11 then says, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against God." You have in that one little verse of Scripture, verse 11, the greatest portion, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart." You have in that one little verse of Scripture, the greatest place, put the Word of God in your heart. Wonderful to have it in the head, but far better to have the Word of God in your heart. And then, of course, not only is the greatest portion and the greatest place in verse 11 of Psalm 119, but also the greatest promise is given to us in that verse of Scripture as well, "that I might not sin against God." So you and I have the privilege this morning of fellowshipping, of having communion with God Almighty through His inerrant and infallible Word. But wait a minute. He has also given us the privilege and the responsibility to pray. Oh, dear young people, I cannot strongly enough encourage you this morning to develop a prayer habit in your life. What does prayer do for you and me? Why is it so important that you and I be men and women of prayer? Well, first of all, prayer brings heaven to earth. Prayer makes heaven real to you and me. Prayer makes the Lord Jesus Christ real. When we pray, we get to know Him. The Apostle Paul in the book of Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. And by the way, back in the days when I was a student here, I was a member of Theta Kappa Nu. And our verse for our society back in those days, and perhaps it is still true today, is Philippians 3 and verse 10, "that I may know Him in a personal, vibrant way, that I may know Him from an experiential way, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Yes, prayer is the means by which we get to know the Lord. It is the means by which heaven becomes real and the Son of God becomes real in our lives. I think the songwriter had the idea when he penned these words, "Teach me to pray, Lord. Teach me to pray. This is my heart cry. Day unto day, I long to know Thy will and Thy way. Teach me to pray, Lord. Teach me to pray." Prayer will bring heaven to earth. Do you need a visitation from the Lord this morning? Then I would encourage you to get alone in some quiet place and ask God Almighty to visit with you and to minister to your heart needs. Prayer makes heaven real. If heaven is not real to you this morning, I suggest you pray. If the Lord Jesus is not as real to you as He ought to be this morning, I suggest to you that you make prayer a priority in your life. But again, prayer moves the hand and the heart of God Almighty in our behalf. What are your needs as a student in this great university today? Is it financial? Then prayer will move God's heart and hand toward you. Dr. Bob was telling me just a moment ago of a wonderful thing that has happened just within the last few minutes, of the heart and the hand of God moving in behalf of a student in this university. Oh, I say to you, young people, God is a great God, and He desires that you call upon Him and make your petition known unto Him. There's a great verse of Scripture in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 33 and verse 3, where the Bible says, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." Yes, prayer is the means by which you can make your petition and your request known to God. Again, prayer opens the window of heaven so that our daily needs are met. The sixth chapter of the book of Matthew has as its primary focus in that chapter the subject of prayer. Let me call to your attention this morning these statements in Matthew chapter 6, verse number 5, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." Verse number 6, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly." Verse number 7, "But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking." Did you notice, young people, the implication of these verses is that young people who love Christ and who know Him in a personal way are young people who pray. It is not a question of if you pray, but it is a question when thou prayest. When thou prayest, thou shalt go into thy closet, and in thy closet make thy petition known unto the Lord. Oh, and it is in those places that God Almighty comes and ministers to the needs of His children. But then again, prayer advances the cause of God on this earth as it is in heaven. In the words of our text, we read these words, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Would you like to see this morning God's will perfected here in this earth? May I suggest to you that there is one way by which that would be a possibility, and it is through the vehicle of prayer. Our nation has great needs this morning. There are problems which are seemingly insurmountable, but God Almighty has given us the assurance that when we pray, God's will can be done and will be done in response to prayer on this earth, even as it is in heaven. Then again, prayer is the vehicle for the cleansing of our sins. In the book of 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, a very familiar verse of Scripture perhaps to this student body, we find these words, "If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Are you burdened this morning with some secret matter of the heart? Do you sit in this auditorium this morning with some sin seemingly dominating your life at this point in time? Then the vehicle through which God has chosen for you to be victorious is in this marvelous and wonderful thing called prayer. Prayer is the vehicle for cleansing. Then again, prayer is the vehicle for the deliverance from temptation. I'm reminded this morning of that young man Joseph, who was such a stalwart testimony for all of us. And in the hour when he was tested and tried, this young man was victorious in his life. No wonder these disciples of the Lord Jesus asked the Lord to teach them to pray. Such an important thing. If I could somehow get in your mind this morning, if I could somehow leave with you one thought in these two exciting days for me to be here in chapel with you, it would be, young people, make the time to pray. Develop now the prayer habit. Decide now that you're going to pray. It will not be easier to develop the prayer habit years from now than it is this morning. Decide in your heart that you're going to be a student who knows how to get answers from Almighty God. When was the last time, without question, God Almighty moved His hand in your behalf in answer to believing prayer? Oh, let me challenge you this morning. Be a person of prayer. There are two things about prayer that are essential. The ground of prayer. The ground of prayer is a relationship. In the words of our text this morning, the Lord Jesus said, in answer to the request of His disciples, He said, "When you pray, say, 'Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name.'" That is emphasized again in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, at verse number 32, where the Bible says, "For your heavenly Father knoweth what you have need of." That's reassuring this morning, isn't it? To know that God Almighty, our Heavenly Father, knows what our needs are. Do you have a relationship with Him? That wonderful, intimate relationship with Him that allows you to come boldly into His presence with your need? Oh, if you've not developed that in your life as a Christian, I challenge you again this morning to be a praying Christian. But not only do we look this morning at the ground of prayer, but also the goal of prayer. What is the goal of prayer? Well, the goal of prayer is receiving, getting the things from God we need. But what do I mean when I talk this morning about receiving? I think sometimes we deal with just the surface of this thought. And I think we look only from the standpoint of getting for ourselves those things that we need physically or emotionally or financially. But what real prayer is receiving a greater understanding of who God Almighty is. Do you really know Him this morning? Do you know Him in His omnipotent power? Do you know Him this morning in the omniscience of His knowledge? Do you know Him in the holiness of His character? Do you know Him in the merciful way in which He deals with His children? Do you know Him in the fairness of His judgment? Do you know Him in the unconditional character of His love for you? Oh, you see, young people, the reality is prayer is not so much getting from God what I need, but getting to know Him in an intimate and a marvelous and a wonderful, wonderful way. Prayer is receiving. a greater knowledge of who God Almighty is. But it's also receiving a greater understanding of what the will of God is for your life. I assure you this morning that God Almighty will never lead you contrary to His Word. And if you're to know the will of God this morning, you will find the will of God revealed to you from the pages of the Bible. But then also God will reveal His will to you in answer to believing prayer. He wants to make known clear to you what His purpose and plan is for your life. And no doubt I'm speaking this morning to a number of young people who will graduate in the course of this year. And you're seeking the will of God and determining in the course of these days what God's purpose and plan is for you with the training you've received here. I assure you this morning that God will choose to lead you through His Word and through prayer. But then again, we have not only the goal of prayer receiving a greater understanding of who God is and a greater understanding of the will of God for our lives, but we also have a greater supply for our needs. I mentioned to you, I just touched on this yesterday, but I mentioned to you that in the course of this past year, we have had some difficult days, and yet they have been tremendously exciting days as well. A little over a year ago, my wife was diagnosed with breast cancer. The doctor took her into surgery, and after they had performed surgery, the report that was given to us that that 22 of the 23 lymph nodes they removed were cancerous. The doctor said that my wife had 6 months to live. And so, of course, we were greatly concerned about that. We sought the advice of the finest physicians that we could secure. And we began praying, I can assure you, perhaps in a greater fervency than we've ever prayed before. And I mentioned to you yesterday a verse from the Psalms that became for us the verse of great encouragement. Psalm 46 and verse 10, where the Bible says, "Be still and know that Thou art God." And that verse became for my wife and for our children a great verse of encouragement. And I say to you this morning, after now a little over a year, about a year and a half now, we just the other day received a report that there is no indication of cancer any longer. We rejoice in that. You say, "Brother Hershenhan, how did all of that come about?" I'll tell you exactly how it came about. It came as a result of men and women who loved us and cared for us and who loved my wife, went before the throne of grace in prayer. And in answer to those prayers, the physical needs of my wife were met in the course of those long months of these past, a little over a year. And I'm saying to you young people, what God does for one, He will do for you as well. He will take care of your physical needs. He will take care of your spiritual needs. He will take care of your financial needs while you're here in this university. And God Almighty will choose through believing prayer to meet your every need. I say to you this morning, make prayer a priority in your life. Don't become so busy that it becomes secondary, but purpose in your heart that prayer will be for your life and for your ministry in the days to come the primary emphasis, so that when you need God's touch and need God's intervention in your behalf, you know that God is real and He will answer your prayer. You see, God is not real to some because they have not spent much time with Him. But when you spend time alone with Him, He manifests Himself to you, and He does that through the vehicle of prayer and through the vehicle of His Word in marvelous, marvelous ways. Make sure that whatever you receive in your education here at Bob Jones University, you also receive the importance of seeking God's face in believing prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning for the privilege to pray. We thank You for the ground of prayer, that wonderful relationship which we have with Thee. We thank You for the goal of prayer is to know Thee, to know Thee intimately, to have communion with Thee, to fellowship with Thee, to delve beyond the surface and get to know Thee in the power of Your resurrection and the fellowship of Your suffering. We thank You that You've chosen through prayer to make Your will known to us. And I pray for any student in this assembly this morning who yet is seeking Your will, would You make clear and plain to them Your purpose and plan for their lives in the coming days. And then, our Father, we thank You that in answer to prayer, You will provide for our physical needs and our spiritual needs. And Lord, as we think this morning of the importance of prayer, we're reminded that revivals have come without many things. They've come without great promotion. They've come without great music. They've come without great preaching. But great revivals have never come without praying. And I pray that we might be reminded this morning of the value and the importance of fervent, believing prayer. Teach us to pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to the Chapel Hour coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker was Dr. Jim Hershenhahn, pastor of Grace Baptist Church in Wilmington, North Carolina. For a cassette copy of today's message, send a check for $5.13 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina 29614. Be sure to mention the name of the speaker and today's date. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.